Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 29, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Today, we've got a great show for you where we'll talk to Jeffrey Smith, who is with the Institute for Responsible Technology, and we're going to cover a new topic that we have not covered before about genetically modified organisms, or I should say, genetically modified food more specifically. So I think you'll really like this show. This has been a topic I've been interested in for a while and just haven't gotten around to doing a show on it. I hope you liked the last show with John R. Lott as he talked about more guns, less crime, understanding crime and gun control laws, and all the other great old shows that we've had for you as well. So we will get to the interview about genetically modified food here in just a moment, but I want to always mention to you that if you are interested in that third pillar of holistic survival, protecting the profits, about your financial life, about business opportunities, about investments, be sure you are listening to my Creating Wealth show. You can find that at jasonhartman.com, and you can find all my shows at the iTunes store by just typing in Jason Hartman in the search. So we will be back with the interview on genetically modified food here in less than 60 seconds.
Now's your opportunity to get the Financial Freedom Report. The Financial Freedom Report provides financial self-defense in uncertain times, and it's your source for innovative, forward-thinking investment property strategies and advice. Get your newsletter subscription today. You get a digital download and even more. The price, only $197. Go to jasonhartman.com to get yours today.
My pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Smith to the show. He is with the Institute for Responsible Technology, and their focus is on genetically modified organisms. He is an author, he is a filmmaker, and just a very interesting guy. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show today. So when we talk about this genetically modified food issue, and I've heard a lot about it in the media, and there's really been a bit of this leap where I haven't completely understood what is being done. And I think that's sort of the foundation of understanding the problem, and of course we're going to go into what the dangers of it are. But what is happening? What are they doing to the food when they genetically modify it?
Well, normally, for animals or plants to reproduce, they have sexual reproduction where they cross, you know, males and females and whatnot, and the genes cross naturally. With genetic engineering, you take genes from one species, and it could be from any type of organism, human, animal, plant, bacteria, virus, and you force it into the DNA of another species. So they've actually taken spider genes and put it into goats, in the hope that they can milk the goat to get spiderweb protein to make bulletproof vests. It sounds bizarre,
wow,
but they're actually doing these kind of crosses in laboratories, and the process creates massive collateral damage in the natural functioning of the organism's DNA. So when you have, for example, a gene from bacteria and you put it into soybeans, which they do so that the soybeans can survive being drenched with an herbicide that normally kills them, so they're called Roundup Ready soybeans because they survive Roundup herbicide. There's also all sorts of other changes that occur in the soybeans that can be quite dangerous.
Now, I remember, Jeffrey, when I took biology class in college, I asked my professor, I said, is it possible for, say, a dog to mate with a cat, or a dog to mate with a cow or something? And he said, no, that doesn't work. It's impossible. What are they doing here? I mean, they're just taking a part of the DNA rather than actually engaging in complete reproduction, right? Is that the
exactly case? Like, let's say we're talking about corn now. Let's talk about BT corn. It's called BT corn because they start with a bacterium called BT for Bacillus thuringiensis. Now, this soil bacterium naturally produces an insecticide, which if it happens to be ingested by certain insects, it breaks open their stomachs and kills them. So what the engineers do is they take the gene from within the bacterium that specifically produces this insecticide, it's called BT toxin, they take the gene out of that, they make some changes in its structure so it works better in plants, they put an on switch from a virus and other pieces of genetic material, they make millions of copies of the gene and put it into a gene gun, then they shoot that gun into a plate of millions of corn cells, hoping that some of the genes make it into the DNA of some of those cells. Then they clone those cells into a corn plant, and now every single cell of every single corn plant is engineered with a little spray bottle that sprays this BT toxin. So that they've actually turned corn into a registered pesticide. And that's called, it's actually a very common corn that's grown out there. Most of the corn in the United States, 85%, is genetically engineered either to produce its own poison or to drink the poison in the form of not dying when sprayed with herbicide, or both.
That is amazing that they can do that. I mean, it's just a marvel of science, first of all. But food products require labeling. They require disclosure. The ingredients are on the side, the caloric intake and the amount of sodium and everything is on the side. Are manufacturers disclosing this to people? I've never seen that this is a GMO or genetically modified organism on a product I've purchased.
Well, in Europe and Japan and even China and Russia and Australia, New Zealand, there are labeling laws and requirements that you label products that are genetically engineered. And in the United States, there's precedent in the law that if you have a food additive, that you not only require testing, but also labeling. But in 1992, when the FDA policy was announced for genetically modified foods, it made the claim that the agency was not aware of any information showing that foods that from genetic engineering are significantly different. And on that basis, they really violated their law, in many people's opinion, and said no safety testing was necessary, no labeling was necessary. Now, it turns out that 44,000 secret FDA documents were made public from a lawsuit showing that the policy was a lie, that not only were they aware that GMOs were different, but the overwhelming consensus among the FDA's own scientists were that GMOs were inherently dangerous and could create allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. They had urged their superiors to require long-term studies. But the White House under the first Bush administration had ordered the FDA to promote biotechnology, and so the FDA hired Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney, later Monsanto's vice president. Monsanto was the big biotech company. They hired him to be in charge of policy. So it was his policy that overruled and even denied the existence of the warnings by the agency scientists. And that's why GMOs are on our plate today. And they did it all quietly without letting people know. So most Americans don't know that they eat genetically modified foods probably every day.
How much of our food is genetically modified? Is it 10%? Is it 50%? 70%? I mean,
well, it's good and bad. The good news is it's only 8 genetically modified food crops. The bad news is, because of the omnipresence of those crops, it's in about 70% of the foods in the supermarket. You have soybeans and corn, the two of the most widely used crops in America. You have high fructose corn syrup, dextrose, maltodextrin, soy lecithin, soy protein isolate. It goes on and on and on. You also have oil from canola and cottonseed. You also have sugar from sugar beets. And those are the 5 major GM crops. The 3 minor ones are Hawaiian papaya and a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash.
Corn is just everywhere. I mean, it is omnipresent. It's in everything. What is this doing to us? I mean, what is it doing to our health? Is it a health issue? Is it a moral issue? Is it a playing God issue? I mean, why should we care?
Well, yes, the answer is yes to all of those questions. Some religious organizations believe that GMO, instead of meaning genetically modified organism, really means God move over. But as far as a health concern, that's been my focus. I created a book called Genetic Roulette, The Documented Health Risks of Genetically Engineered Foods. It's quite different than my first book, Seeds of Deception, which was more of a storybook. Genetic Roulette lists all the different dangers that I could come up with the help of more than 30 scientists working over two years. And we documented 65 different health risks, which referred to thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock, thousands of toxic and allergic reactions in humans, and damage to virtually every organ and every system studied in lab animals. Based on the overall documentation of the evidence of harm from GMOs, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine last year said all doctors should prescribe non-GMO diets to everyone, citing animal studies that they say causally showed things like reproductive problems, immune system problems, accelerated aging, organ damage, gastrointestinal problems, and dysfunctional regulation of cholesterol and insulin.
Wow. So, I mean, can we avoid the GMO foods by eating sort of just a healthy diet? I mean, you mentioned corn syrup. That's in junk food pretty much, right?
Yes, and the thing is, the way to avoid GMOs, we made it easy by creating a shopping guide, and you can download the shopping guide or view it online. We also have an iPhone application called Shop No GMO, which you can get free at the iTunes store. So when you look at the guide, you'll actually see food brands in 22 food categories. But if you don't have the guide handy, you can follow these tips. One, you can buy products that say organic, because they're not allowed to use genetically modified ingredients. Two, you can buy products that voluntarily label themselves as non-GMO. And three, you can avoid the at-risk ingredients. And we have a list of dozens of these derivatives, primarily of soy and corn, which don't let you know on the ingredient panel where they're from. They just give you these complicated names. So if you can do that, then you can avoid. Now, I travel all over the world. I travel about 165 days a year, and I don't eat GMOs, so I can avoid them when eating out because I know what to ask for. And I look for the invisible ingredients when eating out because it's, you know, generally you can see when corn is in something if it's not processed, if you get to go to a restaurant that cooks from scratch, but you can't see the oil that they cook in or the salad dressing, which oils they use for the salad dressings. And oil is one of the chief ways that we consume genetically engineered foods through soy, corn, cottonseed, or canola.
The reason this is being done, I assume this is the big corporatocracy just trying to be more efficient, save cost. The reason we have GMO food, is it just because it doesn't require the same level of pesticide expenditure, or why are they doing it?
Well, the primary reason is for companies to sell more herbicide. Monsanto had the best-selling herbicide in the world, Roundup, that was going off patent in the year 2000. So they created Roundup-ready crops where the farmer buys the seed and signs a contract that they'll only buy Monsanto's variety of their Roundup herbicide, so they sell it as a package deal. So about 85% of all the crops out there that are genetically engineered are sold with the accompanying herbicide. And that actually causes an overuse of the herbicide, which is good for the companies selling it and bad for humans and animals. And it's quite bad, in fact, because Roundup is now being shown to have all sorts of health problems, both for humans and animals and soil and plants. The other major reason is for producing this built-in insecticide. Those are the two main traits for the five major GM crops. Either they drink poison or produce poison. And unfortunately, although it does decrease the amount of sprayed insecticide, this BT toxin, like the BT corn and cotton, the actual amount of poison that's produced inside the plant is higher than the amount it displaces. And so it actually increases the overall toxic load on the planet, and in the fields and in our food.
I remember when I first heard about Monsanto and their hybrid seeds, or is it non-hybrid seeds? I think it's hybrid seeds. The non-hybrid are the regular kind, I believe I've got that right. But I'm beginning to think this company is a really sort of an evil company in the sense that they're patenting things that occur in nature. I mean, and then they're trying to monopolize crops and make farmers buy their seed and not let the crop regrow like it naturally would, and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, any insight into Monsanto and what they do? You've mentioned in the GMO category here.
Well, Monsanto's a major player in my books and my movies. They're actually, I have to say that I have a debt of gratitude to pay to Monsanto because they provide such good material because they're such a clear villain. It's amazing. I mean, they do all sorts of things. I've isolated how they've rigged research, just absolutely have bad science down to a science. When they wanted to show that cows injected with their genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, that the injections did not interfere with fertility, according to documents stolen from the FDA and made public, Monsanto researchers apparently injected cows after they were pregnant in some cases. So they got them pregnant first, then entered them into the study, and then showed that the injections did not interfere with their fertility. Or some people working on their bovine growth hormone wanted to show that pasteurization destroys the hormone in the milk, so they pasteurized the milk 120 times longer. Monsanto sues farmers, they threaten farmers, they rig research. In fact, I spoke to a former scientist from Monsanto who said that his colleagues were studying the bovine growth hormone injected into cows to increase milk supply. They looked at the milk, found so much of this hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1, which is linked to cancer, that these three scientists stopped drinking milk unless it was organic and therefore not from injected cows. And they also said that when Monsanto discovered problems with its genetically modified crops fed to rodents, instead of withdrawing the crops, they just changed the writing up of the study to make it look like it wasn't so bad. And when Greenpeace sued Monsanto in Germany to force them to show some of the research that they were submitting to regulatory agencies in secret, then when scientists looked at it, they published a new analysis using proper statistics showing clear signs of toxicity and immune system damage and other things in the animals that were fed the GM corn that we eat every day.
Really, really incredible. What can be done about that? I mean, it seems to me that one of the big problems with the world today is that we've got, and I'm all for business, I consider myself a capitalist, but what we've got right now is we don't really have capitalism anymore at every level. In the big corporatocracy, we have hugely monopolistic practices where these large companies hire teams of lobbyists and pay off politicians and get laws written in their favor so that there's no choice, there's no competition. I mean, there's some choice in competition, I'm saying that figuratively, of course, but they really eliminate and reduce competition dramatically. And so farmers don't have choices, and it just seems like a big rigged game, frankly.
Well, there are things we can do, and I think the first step is for people to realize how dangerous it is, and then for people to make non-GMO choices. And when we get a small percentage of the population avoiding GM ingredients, that'll be a tipping point, and it'll become a marketing liability for every food company, because there's no consumer benefits, and if they lose, let's say, 5% of U.S. shoppers or 15 million people from their consumer roles because they're avoiding eating the brands that are genetically engineered, they're going to switch. That happened in Europe. When the tipping point of the consumer rejection was achieved there over 10 years ago, within a week, virtually every major food company committed to stop using GM ingredients. We've been educating consumers about the health dangers of the bovine growth hormone in the United States. Because of that, a tipping point is underway. It's been kicked out of Walmart and Starbucks and Yoplait and Danone, et cetera. So now we're mounting the campaign for healthier eating in America, designed to create a tipping point of consumer rejection very quickly. Now, we've only skimmed the surface today on some of the health dangers, so some people may not be ready to go to the website and learn more about it or learn how to avoid eating GMOs. So let me just review some of the sharper evidence that we have collected. There was the only one human feeding study ever conducted on genetically modified foods, and they found that the genes inserted into soybeans transferred into the DNA of bacteria living inside our intestines and continued to function. This means long after we stop eating genetically modified foods, we may have these genetically modified proteins produced continuously inside of us. When genetically modified soy was fed to female rats, more than half of their babies died within 3 weeks. When it was fed to hamsters over three generations, by the third generation, most of the hamsters had lost their ability to have babies. When it was fed to mice, the testicles changed. The younger, the offspring from the embryo stage also had DNA that functioned differently. When animals in India graze on the genetically modified cotton plants, thousands of them die, thousands become sick. I went to one village where every buffalo died after eating the genetically modified cotton plants after 1 day. All 13 buffalo died. They had been fine for years and years eating the natural cotton plants. There's the allergies is a huge problem in the United States. So is immune system problems, autoimmune disease, inflammation. All of these may be related to GMOs. In fact, soon after GMO soy was introduced to the UK, soy allergies skyrocketed there by 50%. In fact, when GMOs were introduced to the United States in 1996, 7% of Americans had three or more chronic illnesses. Within 9 years, that nearly doubled to 13%. Food-related illnesses doubled between 1994 and 2001. Food allergies doubled in less time. So we have a situation now where there's absolutely no monitoring of the population to see if these changes are related to GMOs, and yet we're seeing these type of changes both in the laboratory studies and among livestock. So many doctors now are telling their patients as their first recommendation, avoid GMOs. And I've interviewed lots of doctors and lots of patients that say that that one recommendation works wonders for people's health.
We'll be back in just a minute.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn more about investing in real estate in different markets, there's a show for that. If you want to learn 17 ways rich people think and act differently, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to get paid to borrow, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know why Amsterdam doesn't take dollars or why pools are for fools, there are even shows for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Oddly, it didn't seem like you really mentioned the obesity problem. And to me, that is just a huge, huge change. One of my friends who has a conspiratorial bent believes that the obesity issue has to do with the hormones in the food. And I mean, why are Americans so obese nowadays? What is going on? The smoking rate went down. People ate instead of smoking. But this corn syrup, it's just in everything practically. And I just can't believe the difference in the last 20 years in terms of obesity, just looking around, just in anecdotal life experience.
It's true. And I did an interview recently for a TV show about GMOs and obesity. And the jury's out. There's not enough evidence to, there's no smoking gun there, but there's evidence suggesting relationships. As I mentioned earlier, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine linked GMOs through animal feeding studies with insulin regulation and a dysregulation. We know that the genetically modified soy, for example, has higher levels of a lectin that can make certain nutrients unavailable, that the application of Roundup can make certain nutrients unavailable. So you may end up with a lot of empty food, which is not as nutrient dense. You might also end up with immune system problems and other things which would normally deplete. There's a lot of evidence of intestinal problems and gastrointestinal issues with the animals that are fed GMOs, and a lot of doctors tell me that they've seen a lot of gastrointestinal problems since GMOs were introduced, and that often causes depletion or lack of gaining weight, but sometimes when the digestion doesn't work properly, you can gain weight. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's like a genetic roulette. When you have so many changes that occur in the plant as a result of the genetic engineering process, you can have hundreds of natural genes functioning differently. You can have dozens or hundreds of proteins added that were not there before or at higher levels than were there before or in lower levels. And these are all things that can affect our metabolism. For example, soon after genetically modified corn was put on the market, so they found that it had higher levels of lignin, which is a causes stiffness in certain plants. And they didn't know. It wasn't designed to create lignin. It just was a side effect of the process. But the metabolic pathway that produces lignin also produces an element called rotenone, which is linked to Parkinson's disease. So eating genetically modified corn or soy, because they both have higher levels of lignin, might increase Parkinson's disease. But like obesity and the other things, we can't say that there's a smoking gun. We just have the theoretical evidence on so many of these things, because oftentimes when scientists discover problems with GMOs, they're fired, they're stripped of responsibilities, they're threatened, they're gagged, they're transferred, or they lose funding. And this was the main points of my first book, Seeds of Deception, which is the world's best-selling book on the subject, because it has all these stories of these people who were just absolutely slammed after they discovered problems with GMOs.
It seems like science has become very politicized, to some extent a dangerous field. Instead of wanting to do the right thing for humanity and improve everything, scientists are becoming subject to massive amounts of politics, popularity contests. Everybody's buying them off on one side or the other. They've become pawns of the corporatocracy and of the political elite, it seems.
Exactly. I did a blog on Huffington Post this week about one scientist who was fired based on a TV show that came out exactly 12 years ago, so we were celebrating his anniversary. And in that, on the Huffington Post on part two, I describe how the surveys of scientists who were asked to change their data by the people that paid for their studies. And it's about one-third of people who either changed their data or asked to change their data or things like that. It's just a huge amount. Since the late 70s, especially the early 80s, we've seen it very difficult to have straight, real science that you can depend on. And it has been a takeover of the academic institutions and a use by corporations to create science in the corporate interest. In my book, Genetic Roulette, in part three, I have about 41 pages there just dedicated to showing how they rig research. And it's absolutely fun and fascinating. I really love that part of the book because it is so incriminating. They use exactly the wrong control groups, the wrong statistics, the wrong detection methods. They dilute their feed by, tenfold, so it would be impossible to have any results shown from the GM crop. I mean, it's just diabolical, and they get away with it. And the thing is, their own people are on the other side in the regulatory agencies approving this stuff as a rubber stamp, and in many cases not even reading it, just taking the assumptions and summaries. In the United States, the FDA has no required safety studies. Their consultation process is completely voluntary, and it's completely ineffectual. It's technically described as a meaningless exercise. And at the end of the exercise, the FDA issues a letter saying, for example, Monsanto believes its foods are safe, and therefore we have no further questions, because it's up to the, they have basically abdicated their responsibility and said that the companies themselves are in charge of determining if their foods are safe. The companies that told us that DDT, Agent Orange, and PCBs were safe are in charge of the safety of our food supply.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It gets worse. You know, the Obama administration just appointed Michael Taylor as the U.S. food safety czar last year. And he was the one, Monsanto's former attorney, who was in charge of FDA policy when it was a complete fictitious lie, claiming that GMOs were no different. And then he became Monsanto's vice president, and now he's in charge of U.S. food safety. The person, I think, who was responsible for more food-related illnesses and deaths in human history.
But there can't be any conflict of interest there, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's on the financial side, people from Goldman Sachs are running the country. It's just insanity what's going on right now. I want to ask you back, Jeffrey, on the label question. You said, and I'm looking at your app, I just downloaded your app in the iTunes store as you were talking for my iPhone. And on the labeling side, how do you know that there's truth in the labeling, though? You say some manufacturers are actually saying our foods are non-GMO, but can you believe them?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's very timely. There's an organization called the Non-GMO Project, and they are the new standard bearer for companies making non-GMO claims. It's an industry-wide effort to do exactly what you're asking, and that is to convey to consumers that a claim is meaningful. So they actually require third-party verification and testing. And now you'll be seeing more and more, especially this year, towards the end of this year, the seal, the Non-GMO Project Verified Seal on products in natural food stores. And October is Non-GMO Month, primarily to celebrate the introduction of this new seal, and we're also going to be piggybacking on their efforts with our own efforts to accelerate the coming tipping point by launching a new campaign that everyone can get involved in. So I would suggest that people go now, sign up for our newsletter, and hear soon, it's a free electronic newsletter, and get an email from us soon about the events coming in October, the release of the new film, the speakers in your area. I'll be traveling with the director of our film as part of our nationwide screening, and we're going to be organizing a national social movement to hit the tipping point against GMOs together.
Just got to ask you this. What do your critics say? Do they say that this is just outlandish, it's ridiculous, this guy's a fearmonger? What are they saying?
Well, it's a perfect timing for this question. When I put out Genetic Roulette, it has 65 health risks. It was 3 years ago, and I actually asked in the book for the biotech industry to respond in detail to each of the 65 risks, and I put a place on my website to post their responses, and they didn't. But after 3 years, they finally came up with an entire attack website on their own, trying to counter each of the 65 risks, but what they do actually is they expose their own spin and fraud. And so now I've just launched a counter rebuttal, and this was the basis of this week's Huffington Post article. If you Google Jeffrey Smith, Huffington Post, you'll see a two-part article that came out this week. And the first one is about a scientist who 12 years ago blew the whistle and ended up losing his job. But it created a furor in Europe and created the tipping point of consumer rejection, and everyone heard about it, and everyone, all the food companies, eliminated GMOs 10 weeks after his gag order was lifted. But the second part takes a step-by-step approach showing exactly how this organization spins, how they spin the science, they use faulty assumptions, and they dress it up, and it's just a complete disaster. So I was very happy to expose their spin, and I'll be doing more and more of these. But what they basically say is they'll often invoke organizations where they've been able to corrupt it, like the FDA, and they'll say, well, the FDA sees no problem, but of course we've already discussed it, that the scientists saw problems, but the political appointee who was from Monsanto didn't see any problems. But that's the details are lost in there in their arguments.
Right, right. I just got to ask you, I mean, someone that is brave enough to do what you're doing, you've got a lot of very powerful interests that are interested in seeing people like you just go away and not shut up. Have you been sued over any of this stuff? Are you concerned about your livelihood, your safety, anything like that?
No, actually. You see, I know of another author, a couple of authors, whose book got stopped at the publication, at the press, 3 days before it was to get off the printer. It's called Against the Grain, and it was years ago. And the publisher received a threatening letter from Monsanto, and the publisher was a small publisher and couldn't handle getting sued. So he stopped the publication, and they were able to get it out 8 months later through a different press. So what I did was I turned down an offer from a publisher to publish my book. I published it myself. I didn't tell the biotech industry anything about the fact that it was happening. So I have no boss, and they weren't able to stop it. And once it's out there, they don't want to increase its popularity by creating a confrontation.
Oh, good point.
So they don't, I mean, right now, my information is out there all around the planet. My materials are used in every single campaign against GMOs around the world. So it's already out there. And if they try to, you know, threaten me now, I'd have the information out to 7 or 8 million people, you know, within a day. So they basically don't even show up at the lectures, or at least they don't announce themselves at my lectures. And they keep a low profile with me, but the companies themselves, but they often have their front men with PhDs that will do the attacking. And it's so predictable, and it's so disgusting, and it's so absolutely dangerous, but they have a lot of money, and they keep pouring it into their disinformation campaign.
Thank God for the much freer media nowadays, where someone at NBC doesn't get to choose who gets heard. Now you can just go right to the internet, and people will find you, and you can be on podcasts and radio shows, and it's just, I call that the dialogue media, where people can actually talk and do things, and you hear from a lot of voices that 20 years ago, nobody ever heard from them. They were out there, but nobody ever really heard them too much.
See, right now we have a revolution taking place. I've traveled to 32 countries and hosted by NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and I see that we're rising up like the Earth's immune system, that we actually have, as a collective, far more power than the corporatocracy, but we don't have the reflection in the mainstream media, so we don't know how strong we are. We don't know how powerful we are. I was so happy to see Paul Hawken write a book about this. I forget the name, it just left my mind, but he talks about this huge revolution and, you know, millions of NGOs in this kind of global revolution or uprising. And I think the internet and this channeled media that goes to the different channels of the different interest groups and brings information out that's true, I think we actually have a powerful social movement that is changing the world far faster than we're aware of.
The one thing that does scare me about that is a company like Google, because they determine who gets found. And when that power is all massed into just one big player like that, I have concerns there, although I haven't heard anything about that yet. But someday
it's true,
that
but might that's in terms of one venue now. But we also have social media. And so it's like, as things get centralized in one area, they become decentralized in the other.
Yeah, that's true. Thankfully, they do. You're right.
And the thing about the food issue, I mean we're talking global issues now, but in terms of specifically genetically engineered foods, we think that as little as 5% of U.S. shoppers avoiding the brands would be enough. That's only 5.6 million households. Reaching them is easy. We have 28 million Americans that buy organic on a regular basis, 87 million Americans that think GMOs are very unsafe, and 159 million Americans, most Americans, say they'd avoid GMOs if they were labeled. So we're providing the labeling through the shopping guide. So we actually have the numbers on our side, and in this odd case, we're actually the majority. So it's odd for you and I to be standing with the majority, but in this case, we are. The majority of people want to avoid eating GMOs, and so my job is to package the information to increase that motivation so that they really want to avoid GMOs based on documented evidence, and then to hand people a shopping guide. Now, I won't probably meet 15 million people in the next 2 years. But what I'm asking for is every listener now to go to responsibletechnology.org and look at the free videos, the free audios. They all have links you can send to your friends. Sign up for the Spilling the Beans newsletter and get free information that you can forward to your friends. If you're interested in doing activism, we're going to be starting a huge national, state, regional, and local activism campaign on 10-10-10. And then lead up, that's non-GMO day, and it'll go from between 10-10-10 and 11-11-11, a year and a month and a day. We have a GM-free school campaign. We have a campaign to do outreach through health food stores, through healthcare practitioners, through religious organizations, through green groups, et cetera, et cetera. So whether you have an active network as a Facebooker or as a community organizer or just a large family, we'd like to invite everyone to be part of this historic taking back of our healthier non-GMO food supply.
That's great. I've got to ask you before we wrap up here, I don't know if you actually gave a date. When did the GMO revolution, if you will, start? How long has this been going on?
The major crops were introduced in 1996. There had been a tomato on the market for a couple of years, but that's been taken off since then. There was the genetically modified bovine growth hormone came on in 94, but by and large, let's say mid-90s.
Mid-90s. So this has really only been about 15 years, and so it's been fairly short. Yeah, that's good to know. Hopefully it'll be stopped in its tracks fairly soon. What would you like to say to wrap this issue up? You told people where to go and everything. I mean, just sum it up for us.
I think that, you know, it's really an urgent issue. I mean, I didn't mention it, but there's theoretically possible ways to turn your intestinal bacteria into living pesticide factories that haven't been tested, but theoretically they're happening. There's doctors that are saying that GMOs may be related to a large list of diseases, and that the diseases may be long-term chronic or may show up in the next generation. It's not something that we can delay, especially because of the environmental effects, because when you release a GM crop into the environment, the self-propagating genetic pollution continues in the environment and can outlast climate change, it can outlast nuclear waste. It's essentially permanent given our current technologies. We have no way to fully clean it up. So we need to overcome, as you described, the corporatocracy, and we need to know that their intention, the biotech industry's stated goal, is to genetically engineer 100% of all the commercial seeds in the world and patent them, essentially replace nature.
Wow.
Now, what we have, however, is huge leverage. Consumers are at the top of the food chain. We don't have to convince the government. We don't have to write our congressman. We have to change our own diet, share this information with our closest friends, with our network, empower them to share it with others, and just a small percentage of us will turn the use of GM ingredients into a marketing liability. That's what did it in Europe. That's what we did with bovine growth hormone in the United States. It was kicked out of Walmart, etc. That's what we're doing with GMOs. You know, of all of the major issues, whether it's finance or the healthcare or global warming or air pollution or water pollution, of all of the major issues, this is one of the easiest to win. We want to do it very quickly.
Good. Well, Jeffrey Smith, thank you so much for joining us today. The website is www.responsibletechnology.org. And get that shopping guide, get the iPhone app if you have an iPhone, and say no to GMO. How's that for a slogan, huh?
I'll go with it.
That one's mine.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Afraid you could lose your home? It's a real fear for millions of Americans. But there is hope with our do-it-yourself loan modification report. Loan modifications are sponsored by the federal government and can be anything from a reduction of the principal balance to a lowering of the interest rate or an extension of the length of your mortgage. Unfortunately, negotiating a loan modification isn't easy. You'll find step-by-step expert advice in the do-it-yourself loan modification report from jasonhartman.com.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.